joining us. And lovely to see so many of you again. God bless you. What a wonderful day. I want to talk this morning on something that is so important. Thank God for the great doctrines of the Bible that are a rock within our life. And this morning I want to look at the fact of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's so important that we have these foundations, because when the storm comes, as they surely do, when problems come, when issues come in our life, we need to have a rock on which we stand. We need to know the truth, because the truth sets us free. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, I'm going to begin. We hear nowadays people saying, oh, this doctrine, the doctrine of substitutionary sacrifice, is but a modern invention. And some of these modern hippie ministers are turning aside from these sort of things. But thank God, these truths have been shown by God to man from the beginning of creation. And we need to uphold the truth of God's word. It isn't about what's modern and what's fashionable and what people like. It's about what God says in his word. And we see the truth of the blood right from the beginning of the book of Genesis. And the thread runs right through to the end of the book of Revelation. From time immemorial, the truth of substitutionary sacrifice has been shown by God. One person paying the penalty for another. We see the beginning of this doctrine of the blood beginning in the book of Genesis. For it says that when they had sinned, it says in verse 6, the woman saw the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She gave to her husband with her, and he ate. The eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves for themselves and made for themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called Adam and said, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." And as we read on the story, we see that God made coverings for them. In verse 21, it said, "Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them." Here we see God speaking to man. The moment that man sinned, he knew he was naked. The covering that God had intended, which was the clothes of righteousness. He was clothed in the glory of God. The moment that he rejected the counsel of God, not like us with the Ten Commandments or the Holy Spirit witnessing, writing the law on our heart that shows us the way to live. He had one commandment: thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They lived in paradise. They had everything that they needed. God even cared about the things that looked good to the eye. Every provision was made, but God gave one commandment that they might have a choice to make. Otherwise, they would have been robots. And he said, thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But they chose to reject the counsel of God. The devil came, as he often does, and intimated there was something better. God wanted them to miss out on something. So many people's lives are devastated because they think they might miss out on something good. And in the end, it isn't good at all. It's bad and it's destructive. And sin is a destructive force. And they ate of that tree, and immediately they knew they were naked. Sin came in, and they sewed for themselves coverings. These coverings of fig leaves were inadequate. They didn't do the job that they needed to do, and they are a symbol of the religion of man. That's why there is a proliferation across the world today of religions, of cults. There are people that believe things that are totally unbelievable. I'm amazed that some people cannot believe in God, but they can believe the most bizarre things that you can imagine. It's true. Some of these cults, they believe bizarre things. This is the religion of man. There is a need within each one of us to be right with God, a desire to connect with him. And when we do not know the true and living God, we find other things to fill it with. But thank God, God came on the scene and he took Adam and Eve, and he said, what you need, your sin must be atoned for. So he took a living animal and he slew the animal, and the blood flowed, and God gave them coverings of sin. Speaking in picture language, he was saying, your sin will never be covered by the work of your own hands or your own efforts. It takes the shedding of blood for the remission of sins. We read in Hebrews 9, verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Sin has to be dealt with. It is an evil. It has infected the whole human race. Its end is death. And thank God, there is power over sin only through the blood of Jesus Christ. No other way, but his blood is powerful. Its power has not diminished since the moment that it was shed upon the cross. When we understand what happened, when Jesus died upon that cross, shedding his blood, we realize the power in that blood. Miracles begin to happen. Things begin to change. It is a spiritual reality. I've never forgotten the story of a man, a couple that got saved, and the wife worked in an old people's home. And some of these elderly people, you know, they lose their faculties, but the spiritual side is very real. When they've known God, it's amazing. The words of the hymns, they can still remember them. They can't remember much else, but you talk to them about God and they come alive. And some of them that have lived bad lives, the demonic is very evident. And this woman who worked in an old people's home, when she came to the Lord, the shepherd said to her, now your sins are washed in the blood of Jesus. You are covered in the blood. She went into work that night, and an old elderly lady that was there began to shout, don't come anywhere near me, you're covered in blood. She could see it. What was in her could see what had really happened. These things are a reality. We don't see them with our natural eyes, but they're real. God came. We see the same in the story of Cain and Abel. Cain came with the work of his own hands, but Abel came with an offering of blood. God was not happy with Cain's offering. Our own offering, it is good to do good works. It's good to desire to please God. These are fruits of the Christian life, but let us never think that in any way we can earn our way towards our salvation. Cain's offering was not accepted by God, and Abel's offering was accepted. It was a blood offering. And we read in the New Testament that when God rejected his offering, Cain was angry. Many good people today are angry when you say good works are not enough. Charity is not enough. However much good we do, it is not enough to please God for salvation. There is an anger there. And Cain, we're told in the New Testament, was angry and he rose up and slew his brother. And it's very interesting. The word in the New Testament Greek is speaking of sacrificial slaying. Cain was so angry with God that he said, if you want a blood offering, you can have it. And he slew his own brother and let his blood flow. It was a bitterness and anger against God. The life is in the blood. The key verse that we should have indelibly printed on our spirit is Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. Leviticus 17 and verse 11. It says here, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. God knew this long before man knew it. Blood is an incredible thing when you read the statistics of it. Life is in the blood. Isn't it amazing? 100 years ago, if you'd have got ill, the doctor used to come along and say, well, you're not well. What you need is to lose a bit of blood. And they drill a little hole or cut your vein and they drain off some blood, helping you on your way into eternity. But God knew, as he did, as so many things are evident in the Bible, he knew long before man did. The life of the flesh is in the blood. God has given it to us upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the souls. This is the key right through the Old Testament. And when it was in the Old Testament, it was pointing forward to Christ. God allowed all these things to happen because he wanted every sign, every symbol, every word, every letter pointing forward to the center of history, which was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross. And so throughout the Old Testament, animals were slain. It was a sign to man that there is an eternal cost when we sin. Let us never think that sin is cheap. There is an eternal cost. And for the Old Testament people, those that lived under this system, when they sinned, there was a cost. They had to give of the animals that they had. They had to pay a price, and the blood had to be shed. And they had to come again and again and again with these offerings. And they dare not ever come to God without these offerings, because God is a holy God. What a bloody religion it was. When they came into that tabernacle, the blood was sprinkled all around on the vessels, on the ornaments, on the altar. The priests were touched with the blood. There had to be blood, because only the blood could make atonement for their souls. We read in 2 Chronicles at the dedication of the temple, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It said, and when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. What a wonderful time. Thank God, when the blood atones, the glory of the Lord comes. And it says the priest could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And all the children of Israel saw how fire had come down and the glory of the Lord on the temple. And they bowed their faces down towards the pavement and worshipped and praised God, saying, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. And the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the quantity of these animals that were slain before the presence of God? What a graphic depiction. But we need to realize the enormity of man's sin before God. And God allowed this that we might recognize our sin is a big issue and to point forward to the cross of Jesus. Thank God we are delivered from the Old Testament law. Thank God we no longer have to come again and again and again with sacrifice. 1 Peter, we read from chapter 1 and verse 18. Remember, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from the aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Not silver or gold. These things compared to the blood are as nothing. But thank God that Jesus, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, paid the price for us. He was the only one through all of history that could have paid the price for mankind. None of the prophets, none of the saints of old, none of their blood was untainted by sin. But Jesus, because he was born of a virgin, did not receive that sin nature within his blood. Every drop of his precious blood was sinless. And as he died upon that cross and his blood was shed, he was paying the price for all eternity for you and me. So that Hebrews emphasizes again and again, this sacrifice was once for all. There is no ongoing sacrifice. It was once for all. It is forever powerful, forever done for each one of us. Thank God. It is salvation full and free for each one of us here. This is the bedrock of everything that we believe. We do not deserve to be forgiven. We do not deserve to be healed. We do not deserve to live in the divine prosperity that God intends for every believer. But thank God, through the redemption ground that Jesus paid for on the cross, he made a way. He paid for our sin. We do not have it because we are worthy. We have it because Jesus went to pay that sacrifice for us. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Thank God. 2 Corinthians tells us that he that knew no sin. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9 says that though he was poor for your sakes, he became rich so that through his poverty you might become rich. Jesus took all of the curse of poverty so that we might be blessed in every area of our life. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that he took our sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. And Isaiah 53 verse 5 says he took our sicknesses and by his stripes we are healed. He took it all on the cross, and the ground on which we stand is not our own righteousness, but his. We do not deserve it because of who we are, but we deserve it because of who he is. So when we thank God for his blessing, for his provision, we're honoring Christ. We're saying, I believe absolutely, entirely, completely in the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. And I don't want one drop of that precious blood to be wasted. I want to live in the goodness of God in the land of the living. I want to see good things in my life. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice. He was made in all points like us, yet free from sin. He understood what it was like to be like you and me. He understood trials and temptations and weaknesses, but yet he stood firm through all of them. Let's just read a few verses from that tremendous book, the book of Hebrews. Hebrews takes us through the law and explains it, and it tells us of better things in which we live. Thank God we are no longer under the law, but we are under grace because of Christ. And Hebrews is full of better things, a better covenant, better promises, a better sacrifice, a better high priest. It's better. We are in the day of better things. If they could rejoice as they did under the old covenant, how much more should we rejoice when we come into God's presence? We have got something that is better than they had, because they had not yet received the promise. They received their dead raised to life. They saw the sick healed. They saw the miraculous provision of God in the wilderness with their needs supplied. They saw the mighty Red Sea opened up. But they did not see the things that we see as believers in Christ. Hallelujah. We are in victory in Christ this morning. Every Red Sea is going to open up before us as we stand in the victory that Christ won upon the cross. Hebrews and chapter 9, and we'll read from verse 11. It says, Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Hallelujah. If the blood of bulls and goats had some effect, how much more the blood of Christ? He died that we might know the power of his blood. And when he rose from the dead on the third day, it showed an accepted sacrifice by the Father. The price was paid for you and for me. We are in liberty. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. These eternal doctrines are powerful. We must never get so complicated that we forget the simple truths of the word, because they are powerful. They work. This is the ground on which we stand. When everything goes wrong, when depression attacks our mind, when sickness comes against our body, when poverty is on every side, we stand on redemption ground. It is not moved by our feelings. It is not moved by our circumstances. This is eternal truth. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We need to be Christians with mettle, because problems come, trials come. James says, count it all joy, my brothers, when the fiery trial comes upon you. Why does it come? God allows it to come because God wants you and me to have mettle to fight in the battle. God cares so much about our faith walk, about how much we love him and how much we trust him, that he allows the trials to come because he wants us to grow. And if we're not tested, we're never going to grow. But the more we're tested, the more we endure, the more things we go through, we get stronger in Christ. When we look back at our life, it wasn't in the wonderful, great times when everything was good that we really grew. But when we talk to people of our faith in Christ, we tell them about the difficult times. We tell them about the times when everything seemed black, but God came through for us and we came through in victory. That's why God allows the trials. Be not surprised at the fiery trial. They're a mark of God's love for you and me, because he's working in us eternal things. 100 years from today, what we're earning at our job won't matter so much. 100 years from today, most of the problems that we're worrying about at night at the moment, they will seem totally irrelevant. 100 years today, the things that will matter are what the things that we've done for God, where we put Him first, where we have served His people, where we have been part of the answer to this generation. These are the things that really matter in life. So often in life, the urgent overtakes the important. We are taken up by all the things going around us, but we have to stop and say, what is really important? What do I want to invest my life in? I want to invest it in eternal things. This life is just a puff of wind, a vapor. 1 minute is here, the next minute it is gone. We need to get that perspective. God has to be number one. We have to serve Him. We have to be obedient to Him. Thank God this morning that we are washed in the blood. It says in verse 22, according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. We are washed in the blood. There is no condemnation. So many Christians still walk around in guilt. There's no condemnation. Whatever you may have done in the past, it's washed away. We need to know that. Do not feel guilty for the past. If you've repented, if you've come to Christ, your past is washed away. You have a fresh start. And the Bible tells us it's much more than that. When we come to Christ, not only do we get forgiven from the past, but we get given a new nature. It's about a nature change. When we come to Christ, He takes of His righteousness, puts it in us, and we're a new creation in Christ. A couple of Sundays ago, somebody came up with this old chorus. We kind of sung it for 20 years, but it really took off. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again, more than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. These truths are powerful. We're new in Christ. Hallelujah. We need to rejoice. Thank God for the power of His shed blood. Let's read from Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. It talks of the throne of God. And in verse 8, it says, when He had taken the scrolls, the four living creatures, the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Jesus, pictured as a lamb that sacrificed Himself. Each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain, and you redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. This is the Lamb that is worthy. This is the one that we have worshipped this morning. This is the one that it says, I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 upon 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Thank God, when we worship God, we are partaking in a worship that is taking place in heaven, where myriads of angels and the saints that have gone before are worshiping the Lamb. We are part of something much greater. We are part of a kingdom that knows no end. We are part of a government that is ever increasing. Hallelujah. The church is on the winning side. God has an eternal plan. One day He's going to wrap up this old earth with its politics and with its waywardness and with its sin. And He's going to bring about a new heaven and a new earth wherein only righteousness will dwell. And the Bible tells us in that day we were going to reign with Him upon the earth. God has an eternal plan for your life and mine. Let's not just look in the narrow perspective of where we're living right now. God has a plan for eternity, and He's working in you and me, and none of our trials and difficulties are wasted. He's got a plan for us. Hallelujah. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him that sits on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and forever. What a wonderful day that will be. We're in a day, men think that they can pass laws and neglect God. The world thinks it can cope without God. The arrogance of man is so great. But thank God there is coming a day when every voice in heaven and earth is going to be lifted up in worship to him that is all in all. Him that created everything just by the word of his mouth. When he said, let there be light, there was light. Hallelujah, there is a day coming. Thank God today that we have power through the blood of Jesus. In Revelation 12 verse 11, they overcame him, the devil. While we're on this earth, there is a battle that goes on in which we are part of the game. And the devil attacks us. He can't attack God, so he attacks us because we're the closest thing. He attacks believers. But thank God, it says in Revelation 12 verse 11, they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their confession, and they loved not their life unto death. We have power through the blood of Jesus. We need to get excited about what we have in Christ, what he did upon the cross, and realize we stand on redemption ground. We stand on ground that has been paid for by Christ, and we will not be moved. Though the storm come, though trial come, though the attack of the devil comes, we will not be moved. Hallelujah. We're standing on the promises of God. I love some of those old Pentecostal hymns. You know, they knew how to touch God. They knew how to pray through until they got hold of God and they wouldn't give up. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, though the storms of doubt assail, standing on the promises of God. We need to stand on those promises, not sit on the premises. Stand on the promises. Hallelujah. This is the Christian life. There's a battle. But we have got to have metal in us to move forward, whatever may be going on around us. We've got a job to do. Eternity, we will see our rewards. But we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus in this age. Let's pray. Father, I want to pray this morning. Thank you for your wonderful presence, Lord. How we love you, Lord Jesus. How we love you. We want to thank you for your eternal sacrifice. We want to thank you, Lord, that we are not deserving this morning, but that we are worthy because you have washed us with that precious blood. We thank you that we have been made clean, Father. We thank you, Lord, that all of our past errors, Lord, have been washed away. And we thank you that daily, as we walk in honesty before you, we are constantly being cleansed, Father, so that we can stand in your presence. So that we can know you. So that that glory, Father, that came into the temple, Lord, when Solomon dedicated it and the priest could not stand to minister, that glory lives in us because we are washed in the blood and filled with your Holy Spirit, Father. So, Lord, this morning we come to yield ourselves to you afresh. Lord, we ask, Lord Jesus, that you move in this place. Lord, we thank you when you went to heaven, you sent the Holy Spirit and you said, go out, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover, cast out devils, speak with new tongues. You commanded believers to move forward, Lord, to continue the ministry you've begun on earth. And Lord, we are here to be obedient, Father, everywhere we go to be those that will pray and believe and declare, Father. And right here this morning for those that are in need, Father, we want to obey this commandment, Lord. We want to lay hands on the sick that they may recover, Lord. Yes. We want to cast out devils where there are people oppressed, Lord. Yes. We believe your word with all of our hearts, Father, yes. In Jesus' name. So we invite you right now into this place, Lord Jesus, to have your way, to move in our hearts and lives, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. As we come to the end of the meeting, if there are those here you have a need, physical need, mental need, financial need, whatever it might be. You want to get right with God this morning. You want to get set free. You want to be healed. We'd like to pray. Would you just come forward to the front of the meeting this morning? And we're going to pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Thank you, Lord.